Bible, please. I want you to open your Bibles to Mark chapter 6. We're going to be reading that in just a few moments. Mark chapter 6, verses 35 through 52 is actually our text. Mark 6, 35 through 52. Again, we'll be reading that in just a few moments here. An Irishman was taking a trip to the Holy Land. And when he got to the Sea of Galilee, he was appalled when he found that it would cost $50 an hour to rent a boat to go out on the water. "Hoot, man," he said with a deep Irish brogue. "In Ireland, I could have got a boat for $20. "Well, that might be true," said the boatman, "but you have to take into account that the Sea of Galilee is water on which our Lord Himself walked." "Well, for $50 an hour," said the Irishman, "it's little wonder He walked." $50 an hour. For the past several weeks, we've been trekking along through the Gospel of Mark, looking at Jesus as God's servant in action. And from His baptism on, Jesus had been affirming through His teachings, through His preaching, and His miracles, that He is the promised Messiah, the Son of God. And during this time, the apostles, the chosen 12, have witnessed Jesus do some amazing things. You know, cast out demons, heal various diseases, enable a paralyzed man to walk, cleanse a man with his leprosy, restore a man's shriveled hand, heal a woman for years who had been hemorrhaging just by touching his clothes, raise a young girl from the dead. And despite the miracles of Jesus that they had seen up close and personal, and have even been able to perform themselves, and verse 13 tells us, they still do not understand that they have been hanging out with the Son of God, God in the flesh. They still don't get it. Jesus sent His apostles throughout Galilee, two by two, to preach repentance, to perform miracles, and to lead people to Him as the Messiah, in verses 7 through 13. And afterwards, they returned to Jesus and to give Him a report. So let's follow with me as we read here. Mark chapter 6, beginning with verse 30. The apostles gathered around Jesus. Again, this is after they've been out preaching, performing miracles, teaching. So they gathered around Jesus and reported to Him all they had done and taught. And then, because so many people were coming and going that they did not even have a chance to eat, Jesus said to them, "Come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest." So they went away by themselves in a boat to a solitary place. But many who saw them leaving recognized them and ran on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of them. And when Jesus landed on and saw a large crowd, He had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And so He began teaching them many things. Now, as many of you know, ministry can be both physically and emotionally exhausting, especially when you are dealing with the hurts of people. Because there are occasions when you really just need to get away and have some downtime. Am I right about that? I mean, there are times you say, "Man, I've just got to crash for a while. Just got to crash." So this is what Jesus was warning for His disciples, because they haven't been able to rest. In fact, it said they had not even had a bite to eat. So they get in the boat and they go as far to a place away from people, they think, as they possibly can go on the other side of the Sea of Galilee to get some rest, only to be met by even more hurting people waiting for them on shore. I mean, the work of ministry is never done. It's just simply never done. There will always be people with needs and hurts. And that's why, brothers and sisters, it's important that all of God's people, all of God's people be involved in ministry and not just a few. We all need to be involved. But yet, once again, Jesus takes this opportunity to test the faith of His disciples with back-to-back miracles that defy the law of nature. Okay? So let's begin here by taking a look, first of all, the feeding of the 5,000. The feeding of the 5,000. This is the only miracle of Jesus recorded in all four Gospels. The only one. All four Gospel writers thought that this was an important miracle for us to know about. So let's begin to read here. I don't have this up on the screen, but I want you to turn your Bibles again to Mark chapter 6, beginning with verse 35, and just follow with me in your Bible as we read this text. But by this time, it was late in the day. So the disciples came to Jesus. This is a remote place, they said, and it's already very late. Send the people away so that they can go to the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat. But he answered, "You give them something to eat." They said to him, That would take 8 months of man's wages. Are we to go and spend that much on bread and give them something to eat? How many loaves do you have? He asked. Go and see. And when they found out, they said, 5 and 2 fish. And then Jesus directed them to have all the people sit down in groups on the green grass. And so they sat down in groups of hundreds and fifties, taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks, he broke the loaves, he gave them to his disciples to set before the people. He also divided the fish among them all. They all ate, notice what it says, they all ate and were satisfied. And the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces of bread and fish. The number of men who had eaten was 5,000. Okay, now as the boat carrying Jesus and the apostles make landfall, they are met by people whom have traveled on foot from the nearby towns and villages, numbering in the thousands. Now, Mark records in verse 44 again, he says, the number of the men who had eaten was 5,000. Bring up that slide here. So here, Mark says, there were 5,000 men. Now, Matthew tells us in Matthew chapter 14, verse 21, he adds 5,000 men besides women and children. Okay? 5,000 men besides women and children. Now, historically, they only counted men back then. And now, ladies, I know some of you are thinking, no, they didn't. You know, what? They only counted men? But that's the way it was done back then, okay? So that means that the number of people who were actually fed was closer to 10, 15, 20,000 people. And this makes this miracle even more amazing. But as I was studying this text this past week, a couple of lessons. There are many, but a couple of lessons emerged that was not only important for the disciples to learn, but for us to learn as well, okay? Lesson number one is this, is that God desires to stretch our faith, okay? God desires, bring up that slide, God desires to stretch our faith. Say this with me, God wants to stretch our faith. I mean, that's what God wants to do. Someone once said that unless there is an element of risk in our exploits for God, there is no need for faith. Did you get it? If there's no risk involved, there's no need for faith. I mean, if we can do it all by ourselves, then why do we need God? Why do we need God? Jesus puts his disciples in a situation where they could find no solution but to turn to him. As night approaches, the disciples ask Jesus to send the people away, to go to their homes, go to the marketplaces to find something to eat. But stretching their faith, Jesus said, "You give them something to eat." And apparently their budget's a lot like mine because they said, "We just don't have the money." You ever been there? We don't have the money. We certainly don't have the money to feed 15,000+ people. For all of them have something to eat, that would cost 8 months' wages. John tells us that Philip said 8 months' wages, that wouldn't even be enough for each person to have a bite. That wouldn't be enough food to satisfy anybody. So Jesus said, okay, I get it. So go among the people, find out how much food that everybody has. Gather all the food. So they ask around, and according to John's Gospel, the only food they could find was a boy's lunch containing 5 loaves of barley bread. Barley meaning the cheapest of all grains. He was a poor kid. 5 loaves of barley grain and 2 fish. Jesus had the disciples to set everybody down in groups of hundreds and fifties. He blessed the small meal, divided it up, gave it to his apostles to distribute the food among the thousands of people. Now imagine what the disciples are thinking right now. You want us to do what? I mean, there's not enough food here for everybody just even to get a crumb. You want us to distribute this little small lunch to thousands of people? But not only did everyone eat enough to satisfy their hunger, it says here that the apostles gathered up 12 basketfuls of scraps when everybody was through eating. 12 basketfuls. Why 12? Why 12 baskets? Well, of course, that's how many apostles there were. And Jesus wanted each one to go around picking up pieces after pieces of bread and fish, asking themselves with each piece they put in the basket, how is this possible? How is this possible? Jesus tells us at another time in Matthew chapter 19, verse 26, on another occasion, he said, with man this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. With God, all things are possible. Say that with me. With God, all things are possible. I mean, we can say that, but do we really believe it? Do you believe it? I had the privilege this past week to sit with the ladies' prayer group for a few minutes to talk about their unique ministry. And in that group was Sarah Dunn, the team leader. Jackie Bennett was there. Wanda Cherry and Mary Jackson were in that group. And Mary showed me a notebook on which they write every prayer request and petition that this group of ladies bring before God. Every request that they bring before God. And there were pages after pages after pages of written requests. And then they shared with me how God had answered many of those prayers, and some in a very surprising and mighty way. I mean, you ask these ladies if they have faith in the power of prayer and believe that with God, all things are possible. Ladies, am I right about that? Amen. They believe it. And ladies, if you want to be part of this group, check with Sarah, okay? Because these are mighty prayer warriors for God. Check with Sarah. But we understand here that, again, you know, the disciples, that what God wants them to understand here is that I want you to know, I want to stretch your faith. I want to stretch your faith that I am God and there is nothing that is impossible for me. Nothing. But the second lesson is this, that God wants us to partner with Him in ministry. Okay? Say this with me. God wants us to partner with Him in ministry. Now, Jesus got His apostles involved in this miracle from beginning to end. They expressed concern about the people not having anything to eat. So Jesus involved them immediately when He said, okay, you give them something to eat. And when they pointed out that they didn't have the money to buy the food, Jesus then sent them out among the thousands of people to scrounge up some food. Don't you know that as they're going around the people that they've heard some stories? They talked to some people. They saw some hurts. And I see Jesus has got a plan here. And so they go around there, they're trying to find the food. And then after everybody had eaten their fill, Jesus had them to walk the grounds, picking up all the leftover pieces. Now let me ask you, do you think that Jesus could not have fed the crowds by Himself? I mean, do you think that was impossible for Him to feed the crowds by Himself? Satan knew the power of Christ Jesus when he tempted Him to turn a rock into bread. Now, I've known a few cooks who have turned bread into something hard as a rock. But I've never met one who could turn a rock into bread, okay? Never met anybody like that. But I want you to think about this for a moment. Jesus could have asked everybody in that crowd, look on the ground and pick up a rock. Think about it. Look around, guys. Pick up a rock. Okay. What's he want to do? And then he could just turn that rock into Wonder Bread, couldn't he? I mean, he could just say, okay, hey, take a bite. And it would be bread. In fact, he could have made bread. He could have made bread, he could have made bread into existence just by speaking bread into existence. But he wanted disciples to be involved in this miracle to build their faith. Brothers and sisters, a godly faith should challenge us to do as much as we can for Jesus. Amen? That's what a godly faith does. James, the brother of Jesus, reminds us in James 2, verse 17, he says, faith without works is dead. Say that with me. Faith without works is dead. You see, faith is a verb. It always involves action, always. Even after affirming that it's not our works that save us, but our faith, the Apostle Paul wrote in Ephesians 2, verse 10, he says, for we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, to do good works which God prepared in advance for us to do. That God has always wanted us, His people, His church, to be involved in ministry. He wants us to be involved. He wants us to be involved in serving others. God wants us to partner with Him in ministry, to serve Jesus by serving others. This is the very reason that Jesus left His church on this earth, was to reach out to the lost and to serve one another. That's why we're here. That's why we're here. Now, if you're not serving Jesus yet, understand that you will never mature in your faith. Until you find ways of ministering to Him, inside or outside this church building. And if your faith is doing nothing, then it's not faith. It's not faith. But then the second miracle recorded here is walking on water. Walking on water. This is a miracle. Let's bring up that slide here, if you will, please, Marilyn. Walking on water. This is the miracle. The miracle was intended only for the apostles. Did you get that when you read that story? This is only for the apostles. Now, the feeding of the 5,000, 10,000, 20,000 people, not only for the apostles, but it is for everybody there. They saw a miracle that was simply impossible to occur. And so they all witnessed it, but now this miracle is only for the apostles. Let's follow with me as we read. Begin with verse 45. Immediately Jesus made His disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of Him to Bethsaida while He dismissed the crowd. And after leaving them, He went up on the mountainside to pray. When evening came, the boat was in the middle of the lake and He was alone on land. He saw the disciples straining at the oars because the wind was against them. And about the fourth watch of the night, He went out to them, walking on the lake. He was about to pass by them, but when they saw Him walking on the lake, they thought He was a ghost. And they cried out because they all saw Him and they were terrified. Immediately He spoke to them and said, "Take courage, it is I, don't be afraid." And then He climbed into the boat with them, and the wind died down. They were completely amazed, but look at verse 52. For they had not understood about the loaves. Their hearts were hardened. Again, after feeding the multitude and sending them home, Jesus tells His disciples to get back into the boat and sail to Bethsaida, while He goes up on the mountain to pray. And as they leave, according to the other Gospels, as they leave, Jesus tells them that He will catch up with them later. Now, if it was me, I would be thinking, how is Jesus going to catch up with us in Bethsaida? We've got the boat. How is He going to get there? But without question, they get into the boat and they head across the Sea of Galilee. And as they started across, the wind and rough waters began to pick up, making it difficult for them to row. And when they got to the middle of the lake, John said that was about 3 to 3.5 miles, John 6, verse 19, Jesus started come toward them walking on the water. So they're 3.5 miles out in the middle of the lake. And Jesus comes walking on the water toward them. But look again at the middle of verse 48. In the middle of verse 48, it says, about the fourth watch of the night. That is 3 to 6 o'clock in the morning. Okay, 3 to 6 o'clock in the morning. Jesus went out to them walking on the lake. And notice what it says here. And he was about to pass by them. So Jesus is walking toward them on the lake, and he's about to pass them by. Now, why would Jesus walk on water in such a way as to give the disciples the impression that he was simply going to walk right past them? Have you ever read that before? He's going to walk right past them. Now, in my mind's eye, I could see Jesus walking along the water like it was a casual stroll in the park. Can you? Just out there, you know, just walking on the water, you know. I mean, it would seem effortless to him. But why would he walk out in the boat where his disciples are and then walk past them? I think Jesus had a specific objective in mind for these men. For these men, he wanted them to fully recognize who he was. The Christ, the Son of God, who has power over nature and deserves all glory, their all glory and praise from them. From them. Again, this miracle was intended only for these apostles. No one else sees it. Only these apostles. He wanted them to glorify him, but instead of Jesus being glorified, the disciples are terrified. That's what happens. They think he's a ghost. Now I realize that the disciples are exhausted. I mean, they've been up for hours without any chance of getting rest. Their muscles are sore. It's dark. And to be fair, Jesus didn't tell them, "I'll meet you out in the middle of the lake. You know, look for the guy walking on water." You know, he doesn't say that to them. But even so, it was more natural for them to believe that this was a ghost than to actually believe that it could and would be their Lord, the Son of God, walking on water toward them. Now, I realize that they had never seen Jesus walk on water before, but how many ghosts had they seen on the water? That's where they went. I mean, thus far, they have seen Jesus do a lot of things that they never thought possible before. I just saw him feed, 15,000+ people with 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. I mean, is walking on water too much of a stretch for their faith? And after crying out in fear, Jesus tells them, verse 50, take courage, it's I. You know, don't be afraid. Now, you probably noticed that when I read this passage that Mark does not say anything about Peter getting out of the boat and walking toward the water, toward Jesus, walking on the water toward Jesus. He says nothing about it. And Mark was a good friend of Peter, but he says nothing about it. In fact, only Matthew includes that part of the story. And we've heard many lessons and how important it is for us, from that story of Peter walking toward Jesus, for us, keeping our faith focused on Jesus and not on the storms of life. We've heard many sermons preached on that. But Mark is wanting to get across another lesson, a more challenging one that is not to be overlooked here. So let's reread verses 51 and 52. Then Jesus climbed into the boat with them, and the wind died down, and they were completely amazed. Well, they just saw another miracle. For they had not understood about the loaves, their hearts were hardened. Did you get that part of it? Their hearts were hardened. Now, both Matthew and John have happy endings to their story. In Matthew, the disciples of Jesus worship Him. In John, they're glad to see Him, and immediately they arrive on shore. And I'm sure the disciples were glad to see Him, you know, and such a miracle, you know, ought to compel them to worship Jesus as the Son of God, which Matthew said they did. But Mark wants us to understand that something is still fundamentally wrong here. And it says these men's lack of faith. In fact, if you remember Matthew's account, remember what happens to Peter when he begins to sink? Do you remember what Jesus says to him? Peter, where's your faith? Where's your faith? Why are you doubting? Where's your faith? Because that's really what this lesson's all about. It's about faith that we are to have in God. Faith that God can take Garfield Christian Church and turn this church around for Him. Do we have faith that can happen? Amen? Do we really have faith? Because really, that's what this lesson is. It's about faith. These two miracles are about affirming the deity of Jesus and testing the faith of the apostles. I mean, Jesus tried to stretch their faith with the miracle of the loaves, but Mark said their hearts were hardened. That's how the Bible describes unbelievers. Look it up. When he describes a hardened heart, he's talking about people who don't believe. And here are the chosen apostles of Jesus who have hardened hearts. And if Jesus can multiply a boy's small lunch to feed thousands of people, then surely the apostles would have no difficulty believing that Jesus could walk on water. But again, it was more plausible for them that it was a ghost than it was the Son of God. It's a ghost. I mean, they missed the spiritual lesson that Jesus wanted them to grasp. And it will, you know, they will do so again when Jesus feeds the 4,000. And two chapters later, in Mark chapter 8, we find the example where Jesus fed the 4,000. That's 8 to 12,000 for you women, okay? 8 to 12,000. But later on, He's going to feed 4,000. And once again, they're a little bit dense about that. In fact, in Mark chapter 8, verse 21, Jesus will ask them yet again, do you still not understand? These are the men who've been with Jesus from the beginning. They have seen His first miracle. They have been with Him all the way. And Jesus is still asking, do you not understand what I can do? Do you not understand who I am? I am God in the flesh. That's who I am. And I think maybe that's what has happened to the church today, is that we do not understand. We have forgotten who God is. We've forgotten that Jesus is God's Son who walked on water. And we've forgotten all about it, even today. But thankfully, Jesus was not finished with these men, because He had more lessons for them to learn. And eventually, all of them but one, but Judas, you know, finally get it. They finally get it. These same men will be given, you know, the opportunity time and again to demonstrate their resolute faith in Jesus as the Son of God, even at the cost of great sacrifice, sometimes their lives, to them all. So what does all this mean to us? Well, it means that God is still stretching the faith of His disciples, that's you and me. He's still stretching our faith. And when it concerns our faith, we're sometimes like the 12 disciples. We're just a little slow when it comes to our faith. I mean, that's why Jesus said that even if you have the faith like a mustard seed, you know, this tiny little seed that fits on the tip of your finger, you can move mountains. If we had even that faith. And I can picture God at times shaking His head and asking, church, do you still not understand? Do you still not understand? And if you get only one lesson from my sermon today, let it be this. Since Jesus walked on water, we can wade through life. Amen? Say this with me. Since Jesus walked on water, we can wade through life. Oh yeah, we're going to stumble from time to time. We're going to fall. Like Peter, we're even going to sink. But God is always there to pick us up as long as we have faith. Whatever challenge or difficulty or hardship we face in life, our faith and the one who walked on water will carry us through. Do you believe that? Amen? Do you really believe it? Amen? That we are to put our complete faith in Him. In fact, John tells us in 1 John 5, verse 4, that this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Have you been putting your faith to work? You know, I know that it is so easy to get down. To get down every time you turn on the news and hear all the bad news that's going on with, you know, around with the world with politics. And I mean, I just get sick of it. I really get sick of it. And you want to tell people, just grow up. You know what I'm saying? Including our president. You know, he needs to grow up. And, you know, it's... We look at our churches today, and when we once saw this, you know, auditorium field, and yet we don't see it today. And Garfield Christian Church is not the only one. Go visit some other churches around. But as I've said so often, I don't think God is done with us. I don't. I mean, He wasn't done with... I mean, He was upset with the apostles. He was. You know, don't you still not understand? You know, don't you get it yet? You know, you guys, your thick head, your hard hearts, don't you get it yet? You know, He didn't give up. Aren't you glad that God doesn't give up on us? Man, if it was me, I would have given up on me long ago. You know what I'm talking about? Fred, man, you forget you. Man, I try to tell you and you don't listen, you know? And we do that and we look at, you know, what's happening within our churches today, you know, what's happening within Christianity today. And it saddens me. And I know you're saddened as well. But man, I know that God is still able. Amen? That God is still able. But we can't just believe it. We've got to do something about it. We can't just say, yeah, I believe it, you know. Again, you know, these people need to get some food. Jesus says, okay, give it to them. You take care of it. Give it to them. That's what He tells us. Okay, church, are you going to do something about it? I'm here. I am the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. I've never changed. I'm as powerful as I was when I walked on water. I'm still that God. I can do all of that. But you're going to have to do something too. That's why Paul said, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. God wants to partner with us. He wants to partner with us. So we've got to start moving, brothers and sisters. We've got to do something. And I know that I'm talking to some people here that are involved. I don't know how many ministries in which many of you are involved. You know, it's not that you're not doing anything. But we need to understand maybe our focus is just not what God wants us to be. Let's do something about it. Let's partner with God to really make a difference here at Garfield Christian Church. If you're here today and you have yet to give your life to Jesus, I want to talk to you about that. Let me talk to you about it. Heaven's real. It is real. And God says, I've got a place for you, but you've got to believe.